What up, you guys? It's another stormy afternoon. It's always storming when we do these. What the fuck, man?
I don't know.
Fucking well, Florida.
We're in Florida's monsoon season.
Yeah, it's, so you know.
It rains almost every day.
Florida in summertime. So if you hear, like, weird noises in the back, that's what that is. That's
thunder.
That's thunder. Big storm coming.
Yeah.
All right, so the movie we're talking about today was the one that, again, won the Patreon poll. This is the 1980 Canadian slasher flick, Terror Train.
Yeah. I saw it when it came out. I saw it in 1980.
Really?
Yeah.
When you were, what, 11 years old?
Yeah, I can't believe I was that young at the time. I felt like I was a little bit older.
Yeah.
But I think they played it on cable in California maybe about a year. I might have been 12.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like I saw this on cable, like in the early 80s.
Right. I might have been 12, 13, something. But it was new to me at the time. And I loved it. It scared me. Even though seeing it now, it's a slasher without any slashing.
It's not really all that bloody. I mean, until the end. It gets like a lot more violent like in the third act. Yeah. But even a lot of the kills are kind of like off screen or they're not real splashy.
Yeah, what I remembered about it is as a kid, I remembered a lot of the scenes. Seeing it again, I was like, yeah, especially when she was at the end, when she was locked in the damn cage.
Yeah.
And the bad guy was sitting there. And then the reveal about who it is. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot about that. There's some gender-bending shit going on in it. And it was funny because I spoil it. It's old.
Well, yeah, it's from 1980. It's like, you know what I mean?
Turns out, you know, the villain had disguised themselves as the magician's assistant. And, you know, when I first saw her, I was like, man, she looks fucking good. And I was like, it looks like a dude, though, in the shoulders. He's got wide-ass shoulders.
Well, it was a dude.
It was a dude. It was a dude.
Well, he wasn't that the whole time. He was the... Because he wore other costumes
Yeah, he wore
a
bunch of costumes.
Which I thought was like a really good... Yeah. Kind of a unique premise. You don't see that in a lot of slashers.
Yeah, but he was young and they selected him for, you know, it was somebody who could do drag and be convincing.
You know, the fun fact, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I watched like a bunch of different, you know, I read a bunch of different stuff about this and I watched a bunch of other reviews of it. Apparently that guy that plays Kenny, who's the killer, which, you know, like I said, spoiler alert, they don't really make a big secret of that, I have to say. He actually did not audition for this role. He actually came with a friend who was auditioning.
Okay.
And then they looked at him and said, hey, you want to be in the movie?
You're right.
And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually go there. That's what I heard. So so he was just...
He didn't try out.
Because he happened to look... He had like a certain... He was actually a cool looking dude, I thought. Yeah.
He looked kind of like a fucking goth rock singer.
He did, actually.
That's who you would expect him to be. Yeah.
And I kind of like when they had, you know, that end scene where him and Jamie Lee Curtis are kind of like, you know, interacting, and he had that great voice. I wonder, is that really his voice? They overdubbed
it. I don't know.
That's fucking crazy. But yeah, so this was actually the directorial debut of Roger Spottiswood, who would go on later to do... He did Turner and Hooch. He did Air America. He did one of the Bond movies. I think it was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, this was his first movie. And this is, like I said, this is 1980. It's Canadian. And basically, what they wanted to do was Halloween on a train. That's how they pitched it. And the fact that they actually got Jamie Lee Curtis to be in this, who was also in Prom Night, which was another Canadian slasher, and I think it came out the same year as this. So they actually got her in it, and they got David fucking Copperfield.
Yeah,
fucking Copperfield is in this
movie. Yeah, when they showed him, I was like, no, is that him? I said, yeah, that is him. I forgot that he was in it. I forgot that David Copperfield was in it. And if you knew anything, you knew the culture of the time. David Copperfield was the magician that your mom and all your aunts were all lusting over. All right? He was like a fucking heartthrob back in the day.
He's pretty young in this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he was super, super famous in 1980. I can't remember.
Oh, hell yeah. He was huge. He was huge.
Because I remember seeing like a lot of his shows on TV, but I think that was more like mid to late 80s.
It was huge, at least in California. I mean, you know, he was hanging out at the Magic Castle and shit, so he was well known in California. All women liked him.
Yeah, because like I said, he's pretty young in this.
Yeah.
Now, I think he's been in other movies, but I think this is the only movie that he was ever in where he wasn't playing himself.
Yeah.
But they don't name him in the movie. He's just called The Magician.
Right.
And they kind of put him in there to, one, like, do his act when there was, like, not much going on in the movie, which I thought was kind of neat, but also to act as sort of like a red herring, like, oh, maybe he's the killer. I was like, that would have been really funny if they'd made David Copperfield the killer, but...
No, it was the assistant.
And it was the assistant who was... But like I said, this is almost kind of like... They try to set it up like it's a murder mystery, like, oh, it could be any number of these other people, but because they spent so much time... in the opening scene establishing Kenny, you know, the dork, as having a really good motive for revenge.
Yeah.
I really don't think there's any, you know, even though they kind of try to make half-hearted attempts, it's like, oh, maybe it's this guy or maybe it's that person.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no...
They're saying maybe Kenny's a fucking red herring too. You know, that was kind of the idea. Maybe
I kind of thought they were trying to make it seem like Kenny... had grown up into David Copperfield, even though it had only been 3 years, and I'm like, they don't look anything the same. Well, because they were trying to set up that Kenny was, like, into magic as well, and they even make a thing, like, in the script, like, oh, I didn't know he was into magic. And I was like, are you trying to make me think that, like, Kenny grew into David Copperfield in 3 years? What the fuck? Did he have some kind of, like, body switching? They don't look anything alike.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there was that whole thing. So basically what you have here, oh, and Vanity is in this too.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, briefly, she's
young
kind of...
Young Vanity.
Yeah, very young Vanity. We didn't realize she died like a few years back, didn't she, back in 2016. Yeah, because I was like looking at her and she had like a really cool costume, because everybody has costumes on even though it's New Year's. I don't really get it, but whatever. And
yeah, it didn't make sense that they were doing New Year's costumes, but you don't wear costumes in New Year's.
Yeah, is that a thing? It's like,
maybe
I know sometimes people wear like goofy hats and like have horns and stuff, but it's like, I never heard of anybody having like costume parties.
Yeah, they were
New Year's.
Yeah, they were dressed like it was Halloween.
I was watching Dr. Wolfula, which I love Dr. Wolfula, if you guys have never seen that seen that channel. And he did like a really, really funny breakdown of this. And he was basically saying the same thing. He's like, his theory was that when they first wrote the movie, they couldn't decide like what holiday they were going to say. So we'll put all this other kind of stuff in here and we could just make it whatever holiday we want.
Should have been Halloween.
Yeah, but it's like they didn't want to do another thing with Halloween. Yeah. Because it's like we wanted this to be Halloween, like, you know, like that, but we wanted it to be on a train. Because, like I said, when Halloween came out in 1978, you know, and it cost, however, like, it cost under $1 million to make, and it made, like, all the money in the world. So that really jump-started the whole slasher thing. So there were just so many fucking slasher movies that came out. I mean, 1980, there was, like, fuck ton of them.
This one is just college kids getting ready to graduate. They're on a damn train.
They're med students. Yeah. I think they're pre-med, or... Yeah, I think they're pre-med.
It doesn't really matter. They're medical. But they're on this private steam train.
Yeah, it's like an excursion train.
Yeah, it just goes around this track. And it doesn't go anywhere. It just comes back.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense.
It's like party train.
Yeah. Maybe there's something like that in Canada, but I don't think there's anything like that in the United States.
Well, there might be. I can see the appeal of it if they do it kind of, you know, it would be awesome if they did like kind of an old steam train and then they did like a murder mystery dinner like on there and it was like a special. That would be cool. I would do that.
Trains carry cargo. You know, you have Amtrak. They do carry some passengers here in the United States, but... All your rail lines, they're either in use or they're torn up, you know.
Yeah.
They don't just have random tourists. Let's just go in a circle train. They don't have that.
Let's go in a circle
train.
Yeah,
let's go in a circle train.
Well, and it's funny, too, because there's kind of some stuff in this movie that I guess is supposed to be kind of like character development or like, you know, local color or whatever, where they talk about the conductor. He's probably like the best character in this, him and Jamie Lee Curtis's character. And he's the conductor, and he kind of talks about, I think he's played by... Ben Johnson, I think, is that actor's
name? He's always
in
westerns.
He's like a big... Yeah, he's known for a lot of westerns.
Yeah.
And he's actually like a real, like, nice, like, avuncular type of character. And there's like a couple of scenes where he's talking to the other dudes on the train, like, about how trains are on the way out. And he's like, he's, you know, you can keep working on these crappy trains. I'm going to be on the Concorde and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I don't know. It's just like a really weird thing to put in the in the movie.
Trains were going out.
Well, yeah, they were. But it's just like funny that they spent a lot of time kind of establishing that. And also establishing that the conductor also had a side business selling RVs and it wasn't doing that well.
Yeah.
And that's why he had to like conduct this.
Yeah,
this fucking side gig.
He was one of the better written characters out of the movie. I liked him.
Yeah, I did as well.
Yeah, he's kind of like he plays the role. He's the conductor, but in this movie, they're trapped on this train. Murders are taking place, and there's no way to get. You might as well just go through the circuit. That's the fastest way back.
Yeah, they do stop at some point, and everybody gets off, but it's like freezing cold, and you know there's nowhere for them to go.
So it's kind of they have to have an explanation of why you're trapped on a train.
Yeah.
And while they're on the train, he's kind of acting like his role is kind of is pretty much like the town sheriff in a Western.
Yeah.
Pretty much same role, and. The guy kind of plays those roles anyway, so he's a natural for it, you know. Just kind of a down-to-earth, nice guy who's old, probably, what, 60 something maybe?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got deputies, but those are just the other train car guys, you know. And they're trying to keep order and deal with the damn emergency. Kind of almost like it has an element of like a disaster film in terms of like, you know,
it does air a disaster bit. Now film. That you've now you're bringing that up.
It's kind of like something that would happen on an airplane, you know what I mean? Talking to the control tower and we don't know what's going on. That kind of, how do we get out of this mess? That kind of shit.
Well, and I like too that at first, like when the murders start happening, like we know that there's a serial killer on board because honestly, one of the dorky characters at first, who I'm actually glad was like the first one that they bumped off because he was super annoying. But because he's like, oh, I'm the comic relief character and I'm talking to a sex doll. And the sex doll won't even kiss me because she's a lesbian. And I'm like, that's nice. So before they even get on the train, that dude gets run through with a sword. Everybody thinks it's a joke. And then the killer comes and takes that kid's costume and gets on the train. So everybody thinks. And so I think that's one of the things that actually distinguishes this movie. Because like I said, it's a pretty like by the numbers slasher movie. And if you like those, if you like Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, it's kind of middle of the road as far as that goes. But it does have some stuff in it that you didn't really see a lot. And one of the best things, I think, was that the killer, when every time he killed somebody, he would take their costume. So he could kind of move around on the... Because it was like a shit ton of, like, medical students, and they all had costumes on.
He's changing identities.
Yeah, so he could move around, like, freely, and everybody just said, oh, it's, you know, what's his face, you know, because that was the costume that he had on. Yeah. So I thought that was, like, a pretty clever thing that you didn't see in a lot of slashers.
Now, she just called it a slasher. It is a slasher without a whole hell of a lot of slash.
Yeah, it's not real gory.
Not very gory. You don't even really see any, like... I didn't realize how much of it is implication. It just implies that a person's throat is cut. It doesn't actually show it.
I mean, you mostly just see the aftermath.
You'll see the aftermath. That's about it. And watching it, I was remembering how much I liked it as a kid because I didn't have to, like, cringe every time somebody's going to get killed. Because I was more confident that I wouldn't actually see a whole lot.
Yeah.
And really, I was judging it against Friday the 13th Part 1, I think. And that wasn't as gory as you remember it either, really.
Yeah, we brought that up before. I was like, actually, I hadn't seen it for probably 20 years, and we watched it again, and I'm like, wow, there was like hardly anything.
Not a whole lot in it. It's just that a lot of it was implication and bodies hanging. But they weren't, you know, when you're a kid and you're just new to this kind of imagery, you know, as of the times, you know, the 80s, very early 80s, that was mind-blowing shit.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And it was kind of subversive, you know, you really weren't supposed to be watching it. So society didn't approve of this shit. These weren't respectable movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I said, it's not like nowadays where they're just like show somebody with a hammer like smashing somebody's face like in loving close up, you know what I mean?
People are yawning going, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, seeing it, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one thing. I mean, I think probably the goriest thing that happens is like when that douchebag gets killed at the end. That douchebag, the guy that plays Doc in this, he was in what do you call it? He was in shit, man, what's that fucking movie called? I just totally like lost my fucking train of thought. Die Hard.
Okay.
He was in Die Hard. I think he's one of the bad guys. And he played a douchebag in that one too. He just has this really douchey, punchable face. I guess that's why he always got those kind of roles. But when he gets killed toward the end of the movie, you don't see him get killed, but then somebody finds his body and he's been beheaded and like his head rolls out and stuff. That's probably the goriest shit that happens. But, yeah, so other than that, like, the guy switching, you know, costumes, I liked that. I also liked that at first, like, the conductor finds the first murdered person, who's, like, a guy who was dressed up like, was he supposed to be a snake or a lizard or...
It kind of
looked like a Sleestak or the Gorn or
snake man.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it was like a full body costume too. So he committed. And so he's in the bathroom and he gets killed. Like the killer kills him by like smashing his head into the mirror. And he's laying there, there's blood all over. Now, the conductor goes into the bathroom, and he sees the guy dead, and he sees blood all over. Now, initially, he just thinks it's an accident, like the guy was drunk and just, like, fell into the mirror or some kind of shit, and it killed him. So he doesn't want to alarm all the other party guests. So he's, like, talking to the other guys. It's like, should we tell everybody? What should we do? And it's like, you know, we'll just radio ahead or blah, blah, blah. But then I liked that when he went back later, when he says to the other guy, come here, I got to show you this. When he goes back into the bathroom, the guy is still laying there in the lizard suit, but now all the blood is gone and the guy is still alive. Like, he starts moving around like, oh, I'm so drunk, because the killer has cleaned up the blood and gotten into that dude's costume. They never show what he did with the other body, though,
or just threw it out.
How he got it out of the bathroom with anybody seeing him or anything like that. So a lot of stuff is kind of going on behind the scenes, I guess.
It didn't matter. It was a movie of its time. They're just saying, he threw it out the window, or he threw it out of the train and cleaned up, you know. That's probably what would have happened.
Yeah. Now, they did.
There wasn't enough time, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, but like I said, it's, you know, I guess it's a movie, so I wasn't really all that worried about it. Although I did kind of be like, I'm like, how did he get rid of that? Because that's kind of where all the sleeper car shit was, and there was like bathrooms, so you'd think that you were dragging this big, because the dude that he killed was like kind of big.
What I liked about it was the tone of the movie and the visuals. It was 80s interiors, and it was in a train interior. It kind of gives it. It's shot the shooting and the film quality is kind of grainy, all right, but there's something kind of cool and retro about it. It had a pretty good score for the budget, and it was just kind of classic 80s horror type score going on in the back. I just liked it, the tone. Maybe it's because it was just, you know, nostalgia or whatever, but this kind of tone is actually making a comeback.
It is, yeah.
So, it's kind of come back around in style, really, to see movies like this.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I mean, fun fact, they actually did shoot this on an actual train. Yeah. The train was moving when they were shooting it, because they were like, hey, might as well. Like, train moves, so we want to get that motion to make it look realistic. Also, fun fact, the guy that was a cinematographer on this, same cinematographer as The Shining.
Okay.
And Barry Lyndon. He worked with Kubrick a lot. So that's why a lot of the shots, because when, like, a couple of the shots, particularly, like, the long shots of some of the train cars, and they have, like, really dramatic lighting and stuff, I was just like, ooh, that's a nice shot. So that's why. It was, like, it was somebody that knew what they were doing. But what they had to do, though, was they used an actual train, which must have been a fucking nightmare to film, because they're kind of confined, you know, just because there's, like, a million fucking actors in this, and then there's like the crew and everything. They had to change out all the lighting in the train, because obviously the train, it wasn't bright enough for the film, so they had to go in there and like rewire the train so they could get like all the bright light in there. But it is actually shot in a real train. So like I said, what you have at the beginning is there's like a little bit of a prequel, which is like 3 years earlier type of thing, and they show why the killer decided he was going to kill all these motherfuckers. So what they do to him, and this is pretty shitty, I mean, I can't blame the kid, I gotta say. So they're all medical students, like I said, and this one is kind of like a scrawny dork with yellow underwear, which is a little upsetting, which you get to see, so, you know. That's something to look forward to. But yeah, so they do a prank where I guess all their pledges, you know, you're supposed to get laid and then you can take the beanie off or whatever. I don't do frat things. But so they get Jamie Lee Curtis's character, who I think her name is Alana, and they get her to like lure him into this room, like with the promise of getting laid. And then she kind of like sits behind this thing and like talks to him, and they have this all like shadowy thing on the bed and everything. Then it turns out he gets all up on the bed with the who he thinks is Jamie Lee Curtis, except it's a corpse.
Yeah.
And it's an all like pieces and stitched together corpse.
Yeah.
So funny.
Got it from the medical lab.
Med students. Yeah. They're sociopaths.
Yeah. But well, they said you have to get used to this if you want to be, you know, in the medical field. You know, that fucking dude's handing out dead hands to people and shit.
Yeah.
So it was just part of their business.
But yeah, so that understandably like upset Kenny. Yeah. And then he started. Now, see, I don't know if he just started spinning around because he was spinning around, or if he got caught in the ceiling fan.
He got caught in the ceiling fan.
Okay, he got caught in the ceiling
fan. That's what it looked like.
And then after that, you find out, like, they jump ahead 3 years, and you find out that that kid, like, from the trauma, he got sent to, like, a, you know, mental hospital or whatever. So as I said, since they spent so much time, like, setting that up, you know that Kenny's the killer. You just don't know
where he is.
You don't know where he is because the costumes keep changing. And like I said, I totally did not remember him being the magician's assistant the whole time. Because I said, they're trying to set it up like David Copperfield is the killer. Because there's a couple lines in there where the conductor says, wait, you know, I didn't think anybody hired a magician. So you're thinking David Copperfield just like poofed onto the train and decided he was going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
But David Copperfield gets killed too. But in his own trunk with his own swords.
The movie kind of has late 70s, early 80s sexuality to it, which is tacky. And then I like it.
It's tacky and I like it.
The girls are kind of slutty. There is some, you know.
The boys are also very slutty.
They're
very slutty
too. They're letting you know that clothes will come off. There is, you're going, man, take that off. They do give you some payoff.
There's some brief titty action.
Yeah, it really wasn't enough nudity, I don't think. And probably would have been a complaint of mine back when I was 12, too. I was like, nah, there should have been some more nudity.
Yeah, it was one tit shot, right?
Yeah, yeah, there should have been some more.
Yeah.
Because it promised a whole lot more, and it didn't. But it was okay, you know what I mean? It's just, that was the movies of the time.
Yeah.
You felt like something bad was going to happen any minute. you thought it was going to turn into porn. Because they looked like porn stars.
Yeah, a lot of them did. It's just kind of this sort of sleazy.
Yeah, you had to grow undercurrent. You had to grow up during that time to understand it.
And a lot
young
of this
people probably didn't when you notice it probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
it's just I kind of feel like a lot of this movie, probably like the first 2/3 of it. Yeah, there's murders. Like I said, you don't really see them. Sometimes you see the aftermath, but it's nothing super gory. So most of that is just kind of like meandering. There's like some, you know, partying. There's a lot of magic.
Jokes.
David Copperfield gets to do like seriously a whole magic act. He's so fucking smooth, man.
Yeah, he's like throwing cords and shit like that. Yeah. Although, you know, it does kind of, watching that shit did kind of remind me of how tacky, how kind of cheesy magic was.
It is very cheesy, but it's fun cheesy.
Even some of the people, even like a couple of the characters in the movie is like, man, fucking magic is fucking lame. Magic sucks.
So even then, they were just kind of like.
Dude's doing fucking shit like on the fucking, like his fashion on the runway and everything. You know, it was fucking tacky.
He was, especially like on the fucking when he had the thing with the cars and everything. That was like so much.
That shit.
And then he's like flirting with Jamie Lee Curtis, like with the rose. And do you believe in magic? With the rose and everything. Oh my God, I laughed my ass off.
That shit eventually fucking evolved into tacky ass Chris Angel and shit. Pretending to be run over by steamrollers and shit. You're like, man, come on, this is special effects. You're on TV, man. this is a setup.
Yeah, it's not quite as impressive like when you don't see it in person because they could be doing anything.
The last magician that I liked would have been David Blaine.
Yeah.
Because he at least did some Daredevil type shit, like got into a sphere of water and just for like, a week? It nearly killed him, fucked his kidneys up.
Yeah.
Or just standing there on top of a damn pole, fucking five stories up. Did that shit for how long? About 3 or 4 days?
God, it was a long time.
Yeah, just standing there.
I was like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
Glad you're doing it, because I'm not going to.
You know he had a colostomy bag or something.
Well, I hope so. What's he doing? Just pooping in his drawers?
Yeah, what the hell, gross. Man. He must have been fully hydrated and just had a catheter in. Fucking
can you imagine having to go up there and get his ass down from there? He must have smelled so bad.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about that, do they?
It was a trick. He was prepared to be up there for a while.
I feel like...
Can you imagine? He couldn't sleep.
If it was me, I would just like go woo-doo-doo, and then I'd go up there and everything, and then I'd have like a, you know, an extremely lifelike wax figure of me, and then just go boop and put that up there, and I'm going to go home and go sleep on my couch.
He had himself trapped in a fucking cube of ice.
I remember that one, too. Yeah.
Just on the fucking street in New York, I think it was, in the fucking ice.
Well, so the whole time that we were watching Terror Train and, David Copperfield was doing his shit, I was, trying to think of, tricks that he could do to... Because for a second, it almost looked like one trick that he did, he kind of like looked like, woo, he disappeared. And I thought that was pretty cool. But then like the lights just went out.
Sleight of hand tricks, you know what I mean?
It's like, mostly that. Like, you know, the cigarette through the quarter gag and all this, which I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's got to be a hole in there. It must be a hidden trap door in there.
It's
right?
Something spring, like that. I can't remember.
Trap door, and it's just made so well you can't see the crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did. It was mostly card tricks. And then he did that one trick where he had Vanity like cover him up with a sheet. And then she pulled the sheet, and then he was gone. And then he, like, popped up. So that was probably the most impressive one. But, you know, you'd think he would have made the killer disappear, but no. He got murdered.
Yeah.
He got murdered, like, in his fucking box. But I just thought it was so funny that they were trying to set it up the whole time like he was the killer. Yeah. When everybody, like I said, everybody knows who the killer is. It's Kenny. Why did they set it up? But like I said, you just didn't know where Kenny was because he was always in a different thing. And I did not... Yeah, it was kind of like that. And I totally did not... Well, I wasn't really paying attention to the assistant, which I guess was, you know, that was a good thing that they did in the movie, was they had enough, you know, sort of distraction from the assistant, like the magician's assistant, that you didn't, like, necessarily think that that was Kenny, like, sometimes. So when he pulled the wig off at the end, like, with the, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, shit, okay, I gotcha. And also I liked, like I said, the last third is probably the best, like, where he's chasing, you know, where he kills the douchebag. And then, like, with the head and everything. And then he's chasing Jamie Lee Curtis through the train. And she's, like, in the cage and poking him with the fucking, you know, that spike thing that you put all the notes on. When she's, like, poking him in that. And she's all covered with blood. And he's trying to strangle her and shit. And then the fucking conductor comes in and, like, whacks him in the side of the head with a shovel. And, like, knocks him off the train. And then he falls off the fucking bridge and into the fucking ice. And then the movie just ends. Yeah. I like that they just didn't even fuck around. They're like, yep, he's dead. It's over.
Well, there was a climax.
That's
resolved.
We don't need any further.
I remember that end when it happened again. I remember it as a kid. And not only was did his body fall, the head was fell with him. Somehow he got decapitated.
That was a really sharp shovel, I guess. Yeah. Wasn't it? Well, because I feel like when it hit, I thought it was like a shoe hit. So I didn't know if it was his head or if it was his shoe.
It was a head.
So I guess that conductor was like so badass that he just knocked his head off with the shovel. Pow!
Yeah.
And then they're just going to sweep it all off the train, getting rid of the trash. There we go. Although I felt kind of bad for Kenny, because like I said, they did some like fucked up pranks on him, so you can't really blame the kid.
He looked good in drag.
He did. Well, like I said, he was a good looking dude. I can see how, like, when he came into the auditioning thing and they were just kind of like, oh, that guy, because he looks like a star, you know what I mean? Like, his face, like, he really looked like.
As soon as you see him, he looked like he'd be the lead singer of like a really cool goth band. Like, better looking than Peter Murphy. He'd have made a better Peter.
He was a really good looking dude. And like I said, if that was his real voice, he had like a cool voice as well. Yeah. You don't really get to hear much of it because he's like talking.
Yeah, he had kind of a, in a way, kind of a fucking tough look for not being very, not having a masculine face. He still kind of looks sinister. You'll see him if you watch the movie.
Yeah, he's cool looking dude. Yeah. And like I said, I don't even know if he was in anything after this, but you know what I mean. But you know, this is definitely worth watching if you like slashers of this era, if you like magic. If you like David Copperfield and you want to see David Copperfield on a train, like doing really, really cheesy magic tricks and flirting with Jamie Lee Curtis, it's kind of hilarious. Then definitely.
And of course, Jamie was looking hot as ever. She was looking cute.
She was actually the best part of this. Her and the conductor characters were my favorite.
Yeah, they basically carried the movie.
Oh, yeah, big time. Because the rest of the characters are not super likable.
Yeah, and they're kind of forgettable,
And you're
too.
Just like, yeah, kill them, whatever.
They're kind of generic. Generic jocks. There's like three generic jocks.
They were just like douchey frat boys. Yeah. And, you know, so you were just kind of happy to see them get killed. But that's how like a lot of slashers are,
dicks.
Though.
They were just dicks.
Yeah, they were just dicks.
Yeah.
So, you know, no one felt bad.
Yeah.
So it's on... Shudder. We watched it on Shudder, yeah? I think Shudder just added it not too long ago. Yeah. And it might be on some other streaming services, too. I'm not sure. But if you have Shudder, you can totally check it out on there. So, if it sounds like your kind of thing, then go fucking watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't. I don't care. No, just kidding. All right. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.